Exodus chapter 16, we've been preaching. Lord's been letting us preach some through the book of Exodus, last part of last year, and continuing to go that way this year. And Exodus chapter 16, and we're going to read 12 verses there in Exodus 16. And we'll read verse 2 together tonight if you found that in Exodus 16, and verses 1 through verse 12. We'll read verse 2 together. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, At evening then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he hath heard your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? So Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hath heard your murmuring which you murmured against him. What are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron and said unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. It came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Thank you, may be seated. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you tonight, Lord, for a good crowd, Lord, tonight to preach to. Lord, we just ask tonight that you'd open this scripture up to us and let us receive tonight what, Lord, you want us to receive out of this scripture tonight. And I pray you'd give me liberty. Lord, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that makes preaching preaching. Lord, you search every heart here tonight. Lord, you put through these lips of clay, Lord, whatever you want said tonight. Lord, we pray we'd be your obedient servant in every way. Lord, we pray that as we preach and pray to be obedient, I pray those that listen, Lord, that they too might pray to be obedient tonight and do what the Lord might lead them to do in this service tonight. We always pray for the unsaved and Lord, for the backslidden, the cold and indifferent. Lord, for the faithful, Lord, that you continue to encourage and stir our hearts. We do thank you, Lord, for letting us come into another new year. We just pray that it might be a year of obedience and bringing pleasure to God. Lord, we'll be careful to thank and praise you for these favors that we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Recorded for us here in this chapter tonight is something that we don't need to pass over. It's a sin that the whole congregation committed. And it was something that greatly displeased the Lord. The Bible tells us more about it in the New Testament in the 10th chapter. He kind of reviews what happened back there in the wilderness. And he tells us there that he says, Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. And he said, Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, for examples, that they are written for our admonishment, upon whom the ends of the world has come. And so what he's saying there is what happened, what we read tonight, what happened back there, that we're not to repeat that same sin. And then he said what happened back there is to be an example to all of us, that we do not tempt Christ like they tempted Christ.
Amen.
Now, when we look at this tonight, of course, the sin is not adultery, or it's not drunkenness. It's not fornication or some other sin that we might mention tonight. But the sin that he's talking about here is the sin of murmuring.
That's right.
Murmuring. Webster says it is a half-suppressed mutter or complaint. That's what it is. It's a half-suppressed, muttered-out complaint. Like you'd say something maybe in under your breath in a negative way, as a complaint against somebody or something that might be going on. Now, right off the bat, there's three things we want to see here tonight about these children of Israel and about them murmuring. Now, the first thing I want to say is that these were not lost worldly people. These were people that were following God. He had delivered them. He had led them out of Egyptian bondage. And these were people that God had done a great deal for. And yet we see here the rapidity of their murmuring. What I mean by that is we see that when we read the first part of chapter 15, they just come out of Egypt. They're dancing, they're praising God for His deliverance, and everybody is doing great, and they're praising the Lord in every way, the dance, the playing the timbrels, their testimonies, their singing, they're praising the Lord. But one chapter later, they're murmuring and they're complaining. We see how quick this takes place. We could even go a little closer than that, because last week in chapter 15, when we preached about the bitter waters, and we preached about how God led them from the bitter waters to a place called Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. God blessed them. God brought them into a place of shade and rest, and a place of much water, a place of revival. And then only two verses from that, the Bible said the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. So we see the rapidity of that. Now we look at that and say, my, that's awful. But yet you and I have been blessed of God. Yeah, sometimes God has blessed us with some great blessing.
Yeah,
some great blessing, maybe on a Sunday or maybe just during the week. God has blessed us with some great blessing. And then we may find ourselves the next day or the next week murmuring or complaining about something. And that's what's happened here. So we see the rapidity of it. I mean, you'd think that at least it'd be a while before they'd start doing this. But it's right after God has blessed them greatly.
Right.
Greatly. God has brought them out of 400 years of bondage down in Egypt. And God has delivered them with a mighty hand and great miracles. And you'd think it'd be a long time before they had any complaints against God. But what a picture this is of the human heart and human nature. And then we see the repetition of it, that once they started it, they continued it. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And then we see the revealing of it, how that their murmuring revealed really what was down in their heart all along. So this is a great sin. It's not something that we maybe like to preach about or even hear preach, but it's something we need to hear. And I feel the Lord wouldn't let me pass over it tonight in chapter 16, because I feel like it's something that all of us maybe at different times and different points have been guilty of. And I think we don't realize how greatly this displeases God.
Amen.
I mean, this greatly displeased God. You know, we always think about those sins that the world commits, and we're quick and ready to condemn the world for their sins of the flesh. But oftentimes we want to look over our sins as church members and saved people. We want to look over our sins. But you know one thing about God, He don't look over anybody's sin.
Right. Amen.
One thing about God, it don't matter if it's a David who's been king of Israel, or if it's some lost sinner, God still tells it the way it is. When David committed adultery, God laid it out there for you. God told you everything that David did. I think sometimes that we think that because that we're saved, that somehow we get a free pass, that these things don't matter in our life. But they do matter.
Amen.
And they make a great deal of difference in our life. And again, I want to emphasize how much that God was displeased with their murmuring, their muttering, their under breath complaining, how much that God was displeased with that.
Amen.
Now, let me say just a few things here tonight. I'll probably not preach too long tonight, but I want you to notice the habitualness of their murmuring. It's like all bad habits. It's easy to start,
yes,
but they're hard to stop.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever smoked cigarettes or not. I did. I started when I was seventh grade, and it was so easy to get started. I just one day got a little temptation. I fell for it. Got in trouble the very first time that I tried it, but just that little thing got me started in it, and I kept it up for a long time. I kept it up for some 13 or 14 years. You say, did you want to quit? Yeah, there were times that I tried to quit, but I found out this, that once I'd started it, it was a lot easier to start than it was to stop. Really, the Lord delivered me from that, and that's the only way I was able to quit. I quit twice on my own. And the last time I went to the altar and I brokenheartedly said, God, I've tried twice and I can't do this. And if you don't do something tonight, Lord, I guess I'll always be doing this. And I didn't feel nothing. I didn't see nothing. But that night, God done something. And from that day to this day, I've never smoked another cigarette. Never did want another one unless I was out in the woods squirrel hunting and the gnats were coming around. You'd light one up to keep the gnats away. And I didn't fall for that temptation, though. But my point is that once you start something, it's hard to stop. You see, this starts in the 15th chapter. And they came to Myra and they couldn't drink of the water of Myra because the Bible said the waters were bitter. And it said the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? This is the first time that they begin to murmur against God. It had to do with a bitter spot in their life. I'll tell you that bitter places in our life, they're prone to make us complain. They're prone to make us murmur against God. But you see, God was leading them. God brought them to this bitter place for a purpose. And the purpose was not so that they could murmur and complain. The purpose was so that God could show them how that He could change the bitter places of life to sweet places of life. If we'll throw the cross in them, then it'll always sweeten up the bitter places of life.
Amen.
But then I want you to see, from chapter 15 and verse 24, just over to chapter 16 and verse 2. Now notice this, in verse 24, it said, and the people murmured against Moses. The people murmured against Moses, indicating some of the people murmured against him. But look at verse 2 of chapter 16. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. You say, what do you want us to see there? I want you to see the habitualness of this, and I want you to see how it goes from just a few people to all of the people. And not only did it go from a few people to all of the people, but they even added another complaint. They was complaining about Moses, and now they add Aaron to the list. And so we see the habitualness of murmuring when it starts. And then the third time is in Exodus 17, in verse 3. The Bible said the people thirsted for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Now the first time had to do with the bitter waters. The second time had to do with their bellies. They thought they was going to starve to death. Now I'll tell you, if it's anything that'll get Baptist to murmuring and complaining, it's food. Amen. What? Yes, sir. I'll tell you, more people lose their testimony in a restaurant than probably anywhere else. Amen. Amen. But you see, they wasn't out of food yet. They were just afraid they was going to run out of food. Amen. Boy, I know these people were Baptists. Amen. But they complained. And then the last time, the third time, it had to do with something they were without. They didn't have no water. And they were without. So three things there that started this complaining. One was a bitter place in life. Yeah, a bitter place in life. You know, my dad has a saying, and he just about says it every day when I ask him how things are going. He's in the nursing home, been there for 3 years, confined to one side of a room there. And just about every time that I asked him, "How you doing?" he always says, "Well, it could be worse. It could be worse." Of course, negative me, I often reply, "Yet it probably will be." I seen a little thing about, you know, this Charlie Brown and them cartoons that used to come on every year. And it's Thanksgiving time, and Charlie Brown goes out to take some food to Snoopy that's out there in his doghouse. And he goes out there and he pours out that dry dog food there to Snoopy. And Snoopy looks up at him and says, "Why do I get dog food? Everybody in the world is eating turkey today, and I get dried dog food." But then he thinks just a minute, and he said, "Well," he said, "it could be worse. I could be a turkey instead of a dog." And I want you to know that, my friend, that's true in life. It always can be worse. Amen. We don't have to go very far and be sick very long before we run upon somebody that's been sicker longer than us, or they have been sicker more serious than us, or they've been sick to the point they're not going to get well, or they got hospital bills and no insurance. I mean, you can always find somebody that's worse off than we are. Amen. But I want you to see how that this murmuring got started. It got started because of a bitter place in life. Bitter places are not made to make us bitter. They're made to make us better.
Amen.
If we trust and go full with the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
We shouldn't get upset over a little food.
That's right.
Now, I understand if you go to a restaurant and you pay $15 for a meal, you should get what you pay for. That's only right. I'm not saying that. But I don't think it's ever right for a child of God just to make a big scene and everything and stop out or refuse to do this or that. I don't think that's ever right. I think that you can do it in a Christian way without making a big scene. Amen. Well, as Brother Imp said, this ain't going over, but I'm too far in it. Turn back now.
Bless you, Lord.
I'm talking about the habitualness of murmuring.
Yeah,
how we can get that habit going.
Amen, Brother Rick.
And get that habit in our life that we find ourselves more complaining than we do praising.
Yeah.
And Brother Jack, here was a bunch of people that ought to have been praising for 2 years.
Yeah, man.
They've been slaves. They've been down in Egypt.
Bondage.
Working for nothing. Treated like dogs. And now God's brought them out. They're free. God's brought them out with mighty promises and great miracles. And yet, here they are just barely getting out of sight of the Red Sea, and the Bible says they begin to murmur against Moses and Aaron. Now, I want you to see the contagiousness of this, as I've already showed you there, how that in verse 24 of chapter 15 it was some people, but by the time we get to chapter 16, it's all the people. Notice how it works that way. Do you know that some people you don't need to be around too long?
Amen.
Love them, pray for them, but you don't need to stay around them very long if you want to stay in a good spirit yourself. I found out that that couples that are always fighting and cutting one another down and putting each other down, I find out if me and my wife gets around them very long, Nathan, we're doing the same thing. There's something contagious about that. There's something about that that just automatically kicks in that way. Well, Brother Eddie, the same thing is true about murmuring and complaining.
Amen.
When you get around somebody that's always complaining and murmuring and everything, it won't be long until you'll find yourself complaining and murmuring. It's a contagious thing.
Amen.
We have a wonderful example of this in the New Testament. Look over in John chapter 12. And Lazarus has been raised from the dead in chapter 11. He's sitting at the table with Jesus in chapter 12. Martha is getting supper ready, and Mary comes with a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and she anoints the feet of Jesus and wipes his feet with her hair. The house is filled with the odor of the ointment. And then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ornament sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He's murmuring. He's complaining. He's making a murmured statement, a complaint. Why is this waste? Of course, he's the treasurer. He has the bag. Why wasn't this sold, this money put in the bag? Which we know from other Bible study that he was stealing out of the bag all the time. But notice what Jesus, he didn't have much time for it. Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, she had kept this. Now, we have to go to Matthew to see the contagious part of it. But look in Matthew, this account. The Bible says in Matthew 26 and verse 6, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ornament, and poured it on his head and said, it be. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? When we put it together, we see that Judas probably said it first, and then they got on the bandwagon. Amen. That's the way it goes. Now their complaint is against Moses in chapter 15. But then the complaint goes to Moses and his assistant. The complaint goes to Moses and Aaron. You couldn't have had a better leader than Moses. He's one of the greatest men of the Old Testament. He's such a great type in the Old Testament. And God has much praise for Moses being a great leader like Moses was. Rollison says in his commentary, he said, those who serve the best in their lifetime are often appreciated the least. And he said, the greatest example of this in the Bible is Jesus Christ himself.
Amen. Amen.
Nobody ever served like Jesus did.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus came and gave his life and served his heavenly Father. And you know what they done? They complained about him, lied about him, and finally took him and nailed him to a cross. That's what they did with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You say, well, God's the one that put him on the cross. That's true. But those other people, they were just wicked. They just had their part in it. Amen?
Amen.
So we see the contagiousness of it. Brother Sheets used to say when he'd start in the church on Sunday morning, he said that he'd start walking across the parking lot and said if he caught some of his people out of the corner of his eye that was always complaining, always murmuring, always griping, He said he would pick up the pace and almost go in a run and say, "Hey, good morning, I hope you're all right." He said, because I didn't want to stop and talk to him very long. He said, because if I did, I'd catch what they had, and I didn't want it. Amen. So we see the habitualness of murmuring, the contagiousness of murmuring, how that it caught on through the whole congregation.
Amen.
Greatly displeased God.
Yeah. Amen.
Greatly displeases God when I murmur, when you murmur.
That's right.
Something we need to be warned about and exhorted about.
Yeah.
God has blessed us so much.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. And we should have 99% praise.
Yeah.
1% gripe. But usually it goes the other way around. We have 99% gripe and 1% praise. We fuss about everything. We murmur about everything. Some people murmur because the sermon's too long. Some because it's too short. Some because the singing's not lively enough. Some because it's too lively. Some because the Sunday school teacher's too deep. Others because he's too shallow. Some because there's too many. Some because there's not enough. I remember a fellow came here and he was the world's worst to murmur and complain and gripe. Worst I ever seen. And he got sick and he'd not been coming to church very much. And that's when we was in the old building. We was packed out. We every seat was full. We'd get out chairs. Sometimes we'd have people standing there on the very last. And we were just packed out. And he quit coming to church, but he called one day, wanted to know if I could take him to Louisville to the hospital, and I said, I'd be glad to. And I picked him up, we started to the hospital, and I said, "Brother, I've been missing at church." And he said, "Well," he said, "I quit coming because I just about got to hang you up on the wall. There ain't no place to sit. It's hot in there. It's cramped. There's too many people." And I said, "So you ain't been going to church at all?" He said, "Oh," he said, "I've been going to this other church," but he said, "they don't have but four or five. We had too many. They didn't have enough." You see, some people's going to gripe and complain and murmur no matter what goes on. Amen. But it displeases God.
Amen.
When you do that or I do that.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Amen. I want you to see the faithlessness in our murmuring. Next is 16, verse 3. The children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Perhaps one of the worst things about murmuring, when I do it and you do it, is how it makes God look. How it makes God look to the world and those around us that hear it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when we're in that state of frame of mind of murmuring and complaining, we always make it worse than what it is.
Yeah.
Always. Amen. I mean, if the food's bad, we make it twice as bad. Amen.
Amen.
Whatever it is we're complaining about, we just, by human nature, try to make it worse than what it is. One thing I've learned in 35 years of pastoring is it's almost never as bad as people make it out to be.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Now, there's been a few times that it was that bad. But for the most part, it ain't never that bad. Y'all still with me?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
But see here, look at what they said about Moses. That, man, he'd been through a lot himself. He was God's chosen person to lead them out, and Aaron. And they said, "We wish God had just killed us back there in Egypt." Said, "At least when we was back there, we sat by the flesh pots and we eat bread to the full."
Amen.
No slave eat bread to the full. No slave. And then they said, "Moses has brought us out here to kill us all with hunger." Moses is delivering them from bondage and slavery.
Amen.
And a hard life and what they've been through. But they say, "He's trying to kill us. He's making it too hard on us." You see, they're charging God really with going to starve them to death. God's brought us out here. God's took care of them now for 400 years down in Egypt. God has delivered their firstborn when others died.
Right.
God has fed them and took care of them, and they probably didn't have a feast, but they got by. They always had something to eat. And now God's brought them out, and they say, God's brought us out here, and He's going to kill us all with hunger. Now this reveals three things about grumblers and gripers and murmurs and complainers. First of all, it reveals their faithlessness.
There you go.
See, they don't have no faith in God.
Amen.
How could you not have faith in God?
Amen.
That just brought you through what they just been brought through. But there again, let's ask you and I, how can we be so faithless?
Amen, brother.
When God has brought us through some things, and then we hit a little bitter place in life, and we're wringing our hands and said, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is going to be the end. This is no way out of this. We act like that God died last year, and we don't have a God, and He's brought us through all these things. God has been faithful to us. If anybody's been faithful to us, God has been faithful to us. But when we murmur and complain, we act like God has not been faithful to us. Amen.
Amen.
They're faithless. So we know they couldn't please God.
Right.
As the Bible said, without faith it's impossible to please
them.
Yes. Amen.
This reveals something else about them. Their selfishness. They're only concerned about their self. They're only concerned about what God can do for them.
That's right.
They're only happy as long as everything's going good and they've got all their needs met.
Right.
You see, it reveals their selfishness that you don't read one time after that Red Sea deliverance when God turned the water sweet, when God led them to Elam, when God sent the manna, you don't read one time that anybody ever said, thank you, God.
Amen.
You know why? Because grumblers and complainers are always faithless and selfless, and their selfishness, and they're always unthankful. Unthankful. We're living in an unthankful world. The Bible prophesies that it'll be that way. Last days said people be unthankful and unholy. Amen. Now there may be a lot of things I can't be, but one thing that we can all be is we can all be thankful.
Amen.
For what God's given us and what He's done for us and where He's brought us from. Amen.
Amen.
And so we see here that as I said earlier, that we see how their murmuring revealed something about them. You listen to people that gripe and complain, and they'll tell you something about themselves, not even intending to. You just listen to them, and what's really eating them, what's really gnawing at them down deep inside, it'll come out. You don't have to interrogate or question them. All you got to do is just sit there and listen. And eventually it'll come out. Amen. You see, that reveals something, just like praise reveals something. When we give praise to the Lord, that reveals a thankfulness down in our heart that we're thankful for what God's done for us. Amen.
Amen.
This greatly displeased the Lord. Now, here's the big thing tonight, and I'll be done tonight, but here's the big thing about it. Not only the habitualness of it about once it starts, if you don't nip it in the bud, it'll get worse. You need to inoculate yourself, and you need to take the antidote, and I need to take the antidote of praise and prayer and cultivating thankfulness in our heart.
Amen.
These are the things that keep us from murmuring and complaining. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you something that will greatly help this in you and me is if we would get filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't even hear that in Baptist churches no more, but it's still in that Bible.
Amen.
It says, be not drunk with wine, words in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your hearts as unto the Lord. And be ye thankful, the Bible says. It's impossible to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and be unthankful.
Amen.
Possible. Amen. Talk about inoculating ourselves so that this is not predominant in our life. We're human. And because we're human, we have a sinful, Adamic nature. And because we don't always walk in the Spirit, we're not always prayed up, we're not always where we need to be with the Lord as hard as we try. We're still in this flesh, we're still in this body, and there's going to be some of this come out. But I'm talking about making a habit of it where it's every day. It's your lifestyle. All you do is murmur, gripe, complain. They didn't give me nothing. They gave me too much. They didn't send me this. They should have sent me that. I'm talking about how we gripe and complain and murmur, and we don't even realize what we're doing. Amen.
Amen.
God's been good to us around here.
Amen.
And there'll be a whole lot of murmuring going on. Amen.
Amen.
God's been good to us. And it greatly displeases the Lord. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Look at Exodus 16, verse 7. Now notice verse 2. The Bible said the whole congregation of children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Now look at verse 7. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. Brother Mike, it wasn't really against Moses. It wasn't really against Aaron. It was really against the Lord. And here's the thing about it. Again, Webster says that to murmur is to kind of say under your breath, you know, like, I don't like that. But that was terrible. Or why didn't he do it this way? That's what murmuring is. It may be so low that nobody else hears it except the one you intended to. But God hears it all.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
The Bible says, and the Lord heard your murmuring. The Lord heard my murmuring. Look at verse 8. And the Bible says, and Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And he says, your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Look at verse 9. For he hath heard your murmurings. Look at verse 12. This is God speaking. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. How many times in there that God says, I heard your murmuring? And if we could live with a consciousness that God is seeing, that God is watching, that God is hearing us, everything we do, every day of our life, what a difference that would make in our life as children of God. Amen. And the truth is, He does see, He does hear,
Amen.
He does know. Amen.
Amen.
He does know. Amen. Now, I want you to notice what happened the first time they murmured was at the bitter waters. And the Bible said the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into waters, waters were made sweet. And there he made of them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. The first time they murmured, God sweetened the water. They murmured, complained, and God said, they complained about the water, and God says, okay. God says, I'll just fix the water. He says, Moses, see that tree? Throw it in there. Water sweet.
Amen.
The second time they complained in Exodus 16, the Bible says they complained, we don't have nothing to eat, we're going to starve to death out here. And look what verse 13 says, and after God all in time says, I heard their murmuring. God says in verse 12, "And at evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I, the Lord your, am the Lord your God." And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that laid was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there laid a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. And of course that was the manna. The first time they complained, the water's bitter, God sweetens the water. The second time they complained, we're hungry, my stomach's growling, I want something to eat. And God sends them down manna. God sends them in quail. But somewhere along the way, God got tired of it. Can I tell you that God may put up with you and me and our griping and complaining for a while?
Yeah.
But there comes a time when God gets tired of it.
Yeah. Back up.
You say, where's that at? Numbers 21. Look at Numbers 21, verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. Our soul lofteth the light bread. We're tired of what you've been giving us. We want something else. We want something new. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, and we pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You say, what's that saying? That's saying that God got tired of it, and God turned the devil loose in the camp. He started biting people. They started getting sick and started to die. What brought all this on? Murmuring. Complaining. That's what brought it all on. God put up with it for a while, and he sweetened the waters. God put up with it, sent quail and manna and filled them to the full. And then they started in again. We're tired of that. We're tired of the same old thing. We want something else. And God said, "All right, you want something else? Turn the devil loose on the camp."
Amen.
They started biting them.
Yeah.
You say, "Well, Brother Rick, what's the cure for this murmuring and complaining?" The cure for all sin is the cross.
Yeah, 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 man.
Yeah.
That's right.
You see, when they cried to Moses, they said, "We've sinned. We've complained. We've murmured against God. We've murmured against you." And the Bible said Moses made him a serpent and he lifted it up. And God said, "Say, everyone that looks to that by faith, that they won't die, they'll be cured of it." We know from the New Testament, yeah, John 3, that Jesus told Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the cure for any sin, is the cross.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Confession, faith, and the cross.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's too good to pass up because we need you.
Amen.
Eddie, I almost called you at 3 o'clock and said, "Pull out one of them sermons and get ready to preach tonight." But God said, "No. This is what needs to be preached tonight.
Bless you, preacher. Amen.
This is what all of us need to hear tonight."
Amen.
And we don't know, we don't need to go into a year of murmuring and complaining. We need to start this year out with praise and thankfulness. And instead of complaining about each other, praying for each other. upholding each other, encouraging each other, provoking each other unto love and good works. Until Jesus comes.
Amen.
Because he's listening, he hears, and it greatly displeases God. Amen. Let's stand. Brother Nathan, you come to the piano. And 124 would be good. Just as I am. Just as I am, that one way. To get you started, but I got wisdom to play on yourself tonight. Sometimes you preach yourself and all. I'll get you started, but take it on the old man. Alright? Here we go, number 124.
Because to thee, O Lamb.
Psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." In other words, if you've got the word hid in your heart and sin pops up, the word pops up, and you say, "I'm not going to do that," that's displeasing to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Any word on anyone's heart tonight? Any word on anyone's heart tonight? Thanks, Ellen.
Amen.
It's your heart. Somebody else tonight.
I appreciate the message tonight. I remember we had to wait before we got made sweet. Boy, I had an evil eye, had an evil tongue. Seemed like I enjoyed cutting people, I guess, with words. Didn't have nothing but bad, seemed like to say or even think about anybody. But after I got saved and read the Bible through, and I have to admit, I was too busy worried about Eddie Wade to worry about anybody else. I got a different look about Eddie Wade after reading that Bible through. I challenge everybody, if you've never read the Bible all the way through, you ought to do it. It'd be a good year just to make up your mind. See, I'm going to read that Bible through. I got a different perspective about life, about myself, about God, about my family and responsibilities that I had pertaining to my family. I thank God for the Bible. Thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. I believe it's much needed in the hour we're living in. Appreciate being here tonight to hear this message.
Amen. Yes, the Bible, every time you read it through, you say, "Well, I done read the Bible through." But every time you read it through, see, you're a little more mature.
Yeah.
Right. And so you find more.
Glean more, yeah.
You glean more in it. You see things that used to, you maybe couldn't make application, but you read it and you can make application to your life. Brother Robin.
I'd like to thank Lord, Brother Rick, for saving my soul. I'd like to thank you for another year.
Yes,
amen.
Thank you,
bless you, brother. Amen. Smart.
I just want to thank the Lord for the message today and the message tonight. And I just want to thank the Lord that I'm in a church that preaches and preaches.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Bless your heart. Yes.
I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul, and I want to thank God for all the blessings He's seen fit to bestow upon me, unworthy that I am.
Amen.
But I thank Him for each and every one. It would take me the rest of the year, and I hope that throughout this year that I would be able to stand and testify and tell the Lord how grateful I am for what He's done for me. He sent these girls to my home, and I pray that I'll be able to open my mouth and that the words that He's given me on my heart that I'll give to them, and they'll find peace in their hearts with me.
Yes.
I have a girl in my home now that says that she does not know if she's lost or saved. I ask that you would pray for her, that she would know that she is lost and that she needs to get saved before it's everlasting too late. I thank the Lord for this church. I thank the Lord for the wonderful power of prayer to be able to just come before Him in the throne of grace and ask a petition that He would hear, that the Almighty God would hear me. And then He would answer. I thank You for that tonight. And I thank You for His love for me. I thank Him for watching over me. And I thank Him for blessing my home.
Amen. 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 Bless you, Sister Sandy.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yes. Sister Mary.
I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul.
Amen.
All the blessings of last year.
Amen.
And I just want to thank Him for the message that He laid on your heart to give this morning, this evening.
Amen.
I just want to praise His name. I love Him, and I know He loves me. I don't know why, but He does, and I'm so thankful.
Bless your heart, yes.
I'm just so thankful. We are so thankful to the Lord for taking care. I mean, we didn't even know what was happening. I just had a ferocious headache. Didn't even know what was going on, and He just took care of everything. It was a lot of experiences that are unusual and very loud in an MRI, but I mean, He was just there. I had complete peace. Even now, there is some doubt of what caused it and if there could possibly be some tumor hiding under there. I'm not the least bit worried myself, but Michael has been terrified. The Lord took care of him. He had so many things to do in trying to understand the doctors. I mean, it was phenomenal. And the Lord just worked miracles, really, and it's been a blessing to us. It's been a respite for me from the other stuff I was doing. I needed a rest in a way. And it's just so many, many little things that all go together that He can do besides the miracle of recovering. And it's just wonderful. And I have a little ways to go here. And not murmuring is right there on my list, so that'll be good, because I'm working with my brain and how I respond, and it's just been a blessing, and so last year will be a good year. I mean, that's a big blessing.
Amen. That Psalms 23 and verse 1 sometimes takes on new meaning to people that are busy and going here and there, and we just can't stop. And Psalms 23:1 says, He maketh me to lie down. And sometimes the Lord just puts us on our back, make us look up, and realize that that He's the one doing it. It's not us. He's the one that's doing it. And His work hadn't stopped since she had her stroke. The work's still going on. Amen. And so sometimes the Lord has to give us rest. He told His disciples to come apart for a little while. And Vance Haydner said that He told His disciples to come apart for a little while so they wouldn't come apart altogether. And a lot of truth to that. Amen. All right, somebody else. Yes, Peggy.
I just want to thank the Lord for saving us.
Amen.
It's been a good day, the Lord.
That's the Lord.
And somebody asked me the other day if I was going to make a New Year's resolution, and I said, "Well, no, God hasn't put one on my heart yet."
Bless you.
And because if I make something that I'm going to stick to it, I want Him to be the one that gives it to me.
Right. Yep.
And what you preached tonight was—it's just right down that lane, because He. When I was taking the Christmas stuff down, and I wanted to leave that white tree up that sits on the back porch, because I just love to look out there and see that white tree, because it reminds me so much of the purity of Him.
Bless.
And He said there was two or three things that, you know, as I'm doing that, and God's talking to me, and He said, "I want you to look at people through their heart, their soul, not the carnal heart. I want you to see them like I see them. The love." He said, "You don't have to like them, but you kind of love their soul."
Right.
And that's the first thing, you know, that I want to see that in everybody, that soul that He created. That's this cardinal part. That's the flesh. That's
right.
That's what fights against it, you know, and that's what fights against us. And that's what we see when somebody comes at us in anger. That's that flesh. And if we could just look past that and just put the soul there that God created. And then the other thing was, because I did want to leave that tree up, He's given me the opportunity with my granddaughters and when our grandson comes home, that every month, whatever's going on in that month, and if any of y'all got a certain prayer that you want prayed for that one month, just let me know. We're going to decorate it, and we're going to, whatever it is that we make to hang on that tree, we're going to put a prayer on each thing that we want to see answered for that year or that month. And that's why I can walk out there and I can sit there and I can look at that.
Right.
And I know that these prayers, I can lift them up to Him. And you know, I've just been so blessed today.
Good.
It's just been a wonderful day in the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. And also let her grandchildren see how God answers prayer.
Amen.
Amen. All right, anybody else tonight? Kim had her hand up.
Whenever the good Lord gets ready to finish answering the rest of the prayers that we have going up for her, but He's answered the most important one. She's getting eight now by herself. She's getting bigger still. And I said, one day she's going to get up on the side of that bed. She's going to walk in that walker, that lift chair. And I'm going to bring her home to my house.
Bless your heart.
I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. And I want to thank you and Max Helen for helping me spend the worst night of my life.
Bless you.
When my son was called home. And my heart is very sad, but the blessings keep coming.
Amen.
The blessings keep coming. I love my Lord. I know He's the boss. I know He knows what He's doing. And I know what He did was what he thought he was, what he knew was what he was supposed to do.
Amen.
And I thank everybody in here for their prayers.
Nice.
And the cards and the kind words. And I just want to keep on loving him and keep on serving him.
Amen.
Because there's not anything else.
Amen. I told you. So my wife, a couple of days after Michael passed away, I said, I knew Joanne had faith, and I didn't realize how much she had. Johnny. Bless him. Bless him, Lord. Hey, this is Brother John Shahar. Amen. Brother David.
I signed some truck parts Friday at a truck salvage yard, some few parts there. Man at Home's yard, he knows me. He'd seen my old truck across the rail way. His health had went to dinner and parts needed to be taken off of a wrecked truck. Somebody brought him a bike. He threw this big bowl up on the hood, boy, and just gouging right in. You know, it looked like some pretty good steel, to be honest. He didn't offer me none. But he stopped, and I'm not sure why he stopped. But he said, you know, I'm trying to work on something. He said, I'm trying to work on my life. He said, I don't lie about big things, but said just little stuff that don't even matter. I said, friend, I have that problem too, but I know where we got that. We inherited that from our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. He looked at me kind of odd. I said, Adam and Eve. I said, we have a sin nature. And I talked to him a little bit more, and his health started coming back to remove the parts off the truck. But I sure hope the Lord will work with that.
Amen.
Hope that was something positive.
Amen, brother. All right, somebody else tonight. Appreciate your testimonies tonight for the Lord. They're always in order when they're for Him. Anyone else tonight? Yes.
I'm just terribly thankful to God for being there. And He sent many miracles in my life.
Yes.
I was totally gone. And He brought me back. The devil had me by the ankles and He
yes.
set me free.
Amen.
And I can't ever thank Him enough for that.
Amen.
But I'm going to try every day to say thank
you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing to look around and see some folks like that in the congregation.
Amen.
That a lot of people are going to give up on. And they had friends and the Lord never did give up on.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right then. Anyone else tonight? All hearts are clear. All right, if all hearts are clear tonight, Brother Eddie, you will preach next Sunday night, if that's possible. Okay, we need to get Brother Eddie back to the pulpit. He hasn't preached in a while, so he'll be like a wild man next Sunday night. And we're going to ask him if he would dismiss us in prayer tonight.
Father, we thank you for meeting with us tonight. Lord, I pray we'll be the same outside this place as we are inside. I pray, Lord, we honor you in all that we do. I pray, Lord, Father, your hand. Lord, would lead and guide us. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for what we felt here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty blessings upon the work here. Lord, in every direction I look, I see the hand of God mightily upon the work here. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've put your blessing upon this work. May you continue that. And Lord, we're just praying everything. Give us a safe journey home. Lord, if you come and get us tonight, Lord, I pray, Lord, we wouldn't murmur. I pray we'd shout all the way to heaven. Thank you. Jesus' name ask it.
Amen.
Amen.